I learned more about how things actually happen, how things actually get created, a few years later. I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, delivering a consciousness workshop. And this workshop went on two different weekends. So during the middle of the week, I was going to fly to San Francisco just for one evening, a free introductory workshop in San Francisco for a future date. So during the middle of the week, I was just going to fly to Milwaukee, fly from Milwaukee to San Francisco for one night, and then fly back. Now this workshop I had set up in San Francisco, it was the first time I ever went to San Francisco. I had rented a big ballroom in a major hotel downtown San Francisco. I spent a lot of money in the ballroom. I spent several thousand dollars on advertising for 3 or 4 months so we could penetrate the consciousness of the Bay Area and attract those people who are pretty inundated with lots and lots of New Age and spiritual things. So I spent quite a bit of money to advertise and try to make a dent in that glutted market for this kind of thing, to bring enough people to this free workshop, this free talk, so that they might get interested in taking my course. The free talk was to take place at 7:30 in the Jack Tar Hotel in San Francisco. I was in Milwaukee in the morning. We got on the airplane. We were about to take off, and the pilot, the captain, turns off the engines on the plane and announces to us that one of the engines is not functioning correctly and that the plane will not fly, that we all have to get off the plane. Well, even if we had left right at that time, it was still going to be fairly tight for me to fly to San Francisco, get a cab, get to the hotel, get set up to do this workshop. So I was starting already to write off the thousands of dollars I'd spent on this workshop. I knew no one in San Francisco who could speak for me, who could take over the workshop. There was no way to postpone it. People were either coming or not coming that night. So it was an all or nothing affair. As I got off the plane, I was already having a lot of feelings about losing that kind of money, and I was starting to actually already think of what alternative careers I could have, since this one was not getting off to a very good start. So at that point, we went into the terminal, and that particular airline did not have another flight that day that could get me there in time. And all the other airlines had lines of 20 or 30 people. It was really actually already getting too late just in flight time to get to San Francisco and get to the workshop on time. All of a sudden, so I was sitting on my luggage in the middle of the terminal, counting my losses, feeling my feelings about it, and I basically gave up. I just surrendered and said, well, you know, it's a very expensive lesson, but I won't cut things this close again. Maybe I'm not even supposed to do this. I was letting up all my doubts, and I got a tap on my shoulder. I looked around, and it was a very young lady, maybe 18 or 19, blonde, a young girl, and she said, oh, you wanted to get to San Francisco this evening also. And I said, yes. I don't know how she knew. Maybe she saw me on the plane. And she said, yes, I need to get there at 7:30. And I said, well, that's when I need to get there. And she said, well, follow me. I said, well, what do you, and I tried to ask her, but she was already taking off. So I thought, well, what do I have to lose? I don't have any plan. No other airlines have any flights. It's too late anyway. So I followed her. And then I said, as I went after, I said, what about my luggage? And she said, never mind, it'll be taken care of. So I just followed her, and she took me, and we got right on the gangplank of another airplane, a different airline. And I sat down next to her, and we flew to San Francisco. It was a direct flight. They took our tickets. And when we got to San Francisco, we got off the plane. My luggage was there. I jumped on a cab. And I got to the hotel at 7:15, right before my seminar. I don't recall at this time what we talked about on the airplane. She was going to some sort of seminar or business interview, something in San Francisco. I was just swept up by the whole affair in some sort of trust space, and I just went with it. When we got to San Francisco, I got a cab, my luggage was there, and there I was, right where I'd wanted to be, 7:15 at the hotel. The room was reserved, it was set up perfectly. I was all set to go. There was only one problem. It was 7:30, and there was no one in the room. I went out in the lobby, thinking maybe people were milling around outside. There was no one outside. I put flyers up from the lobby up to the room to make sure people could find their way. There were several signs that were correct in the lobby about my seminar, but there was nobody in the seminar room. So here I was. I mean, I might as well have been back in the airplane terminal in Milwaukee, because I had gotten my wish. I created being there on time, but I'd left out some other important details. There was no one else there. So, again, I went back out into the lobby to big open space, and I just sat down and said, well, all right, I'm not supposed to do this, obviously. And I started feeling my feelings, but also looking to alternatives. My most popular one is being a car mechanic at this point. It's simple, you know what you're dealing with. You know, if the car shows up, you work on it, you send it home. Well, after about 10 or 15 minutes of feeling sorry for myself and feeling the end of a brilliant career, I went back up to the seminar room, and there was one person in the room. This was a middle-aged woman, about middle, 5'5" tall, long gray hair, and she was dressed in what you might call a skirt and a blouse, except what she was wearing was made out of little bits of a million fabric sewn together with little pieces of glitter, glass, diamonds, beads, and other various things that she obviously found in the streets of San Francisco. She was very colorful, very bright. All the lights from the chandelier glittered from her clothing. And I thought, great. I spent all this money and all this trouble to come to San Francisco and to fly here, all this grief, to talk to this one person. And to make matters worse, she wasn't even there for my seminar. In her hand, she had about 200 flyers of her own. And they were about the Great White Brotherhood and Sisterhood. And she had little diagrams on these flyers. And the diagrams were to show people which park to go to in the Bay Area, near Berkeley or Golden Gate Park in the city or wherever, which park was closest to you when the landings came, when our brothers and sisters, our ETs, our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters, came to take us off the planet when the Earth changes happened. And it was to let people know which park to go to that was closest to them. So she was basically a civil defense employee, except she wasn't working for the government. And she said to me very sweetly, she said, oh, Keith, I'm sure you won't mind if I hand out my flyers to the people that are coming to your seminar. She said, I'm sure the same people that come to this will want to know where to go to be picked up when the earth changes come. And I said, oh, no, it's no problem. I mean, it was easy to be magnanimous since there was no one in the room to give the flyers to. However, I was feeling a little irritated that I had spent $5,000-$6,000 to come to give a seminar to somebody who wasn't even interested in what I had to talk about. She basically wanted to hand flyers out to my people. But I did have that little bit of revenge, and that was that there wasn't anyone to hand the flyers out to. So at that point, I was a little overwhelmed with my failure again, and I left the room and went back to the lobby. And I found a chair in the corner with a view of the city, and I just sat there and looked out. And again, I just sat there and felt my sadness, my anger, my disappointment, my frustration, particularly with this woman, who, by the way, told me her name. Her name was the Cosmic Lady. She said, everyone knows me. I just go by a Cosmic Lady. So I thought, great, I came here to meet the Cosmic Lady. So at that point, I started to put my attention on the cosmic lady, and I started to realize that I liked her. Even though it felt uncomfortable in the situation, because she was wanting to hand flyers out to my people who didn't exist, I started to think about and feel her spunk, her passion. She really did care about people. She did really care about wanting people to know where to go, what parks to go to, how to be saved, how to be helped. And I started to actually feel an admiration and appreciation for this woman. And I started to feel not as alone. At least she showed up. So after a while, I decided to go back to the seminar room. By now, it was about 8 o'clock, and there were 6 people in the room. And I thought, well, we'll do a seminar anyway. At least there's 6 people. And I started to talk to them. They came up, and I introduced myself. And every one of those 6 people was there because of the Cosmic Lady. But they said, they all mentioned a different bookstore or cafe where they'd found my flyer, which I had not distributed at bookstores and cafes. And then she came over and I discovered, she said that she had gotten a stack of my flyers from this newspaper where I had given them, and she had distributed them herself around the city, passed them out in parks on the street, left them at bookstores and cafes and espresso shops. And every one of the 6 people in the room had come because I saw they all had a crumpled up flyer that she had left somewhere. So I started to feel very warmly toward the Cosmic Lady. And I remembered what I'd done out in the lobby, that I'd sat there and appreciated her and picked an agreement with what I liked about her and just basically had very warm feelings toward her. And on an intuition, I decided I would go back out to the lobby and look at all my judgments about her, at all my first impressions, and shift them all, shift my perception of her and just move into total appreciation. So I went out, back out to the lobby, and I picked every agreement I could pick with her about her her willingness to help, her joy, her enthusiasm. And I sat there and just basically had a love fest with the Cosmic Lady. Actually, being in her presence, I realized now, had shifted me into this, out of the seriousness and somberness of the importance of this lecture and the importance of my career and the importance of not being a failure. And just being in her presence and her delight and her joy and just passing out flyers of mine, of hers, it didn't really even seem to matter to her. And that spirit worn off on me, and I was starting to just enjoy being there and just enjoying the game of it. And I came back into the room, the seminar room, and this time it was filled with about 25 to 30 people. And I delivered my seminar, and 8 of those people signed up for my workshop, which cost $2,000. So it ended up being a very successful trip to San Francisco. And a funny thing happened during the seminar. I was filled with just the magic of it, so I was very relaxed. I gave a very fun presentation. And I just told a lot of personal stories. I relaxed and was much more like her, just sort of laying it all out there with my hair down. And near the end, I did a process at the end where everyone was very relaxed. And at the very end, the Cosmic Lady stood up on a chair and started waving her flyers and talking about the end of the world and that people need to know what park to go to get picked up before the world ended. And I realized, oh, I must still have a little bit of judgment against her, a little bit of some feeling about her. So on the stage, I closed my eyes, and I could feel what it was. I still had a judgment about the way she dressed and that she looked, that she was a little crazy. And as I was feeling that lift, and I just moved into love and appreciation for her, she stopped shouting about the ETs coming and the end of the world, and she said, "And the Brotherhood, the Ascended Masters, and the Sisterhood are very grateful for Keith coming to San Francisco to bring this wonderful program to us. Thank you, Keith." And she sat down. And then 8 people signed up for the workshop. Well, that wasn't the end of the Cosmic Lady. There's 2 other postscripts. A year later, I was back at that same hotel. That particular workshop seminar was a great success. I was doing them all over the country. and I was back at the Jack Tar Hotel doing a free workshop. And sure enough, about 7:15, she waddles up the corridor. She's still got the flyers. These are new ones now, of the Brotherhood and Sisterhood picking people up in the parks. And she came up and she tugged on my shirt and she said, "You know, I'm not going to stay tonight because, you know, I heard it last time. But I just wanted you to know that I distributed your flyers and the Brotherhood and Sisterhood are totally behind you. They're going to make sure you have plenty of people here tonight, that all the realms, the angelic, on all the dimensions are fully supporting everything you're doing. And I just wanted to give you that little message." And she waddled off. And at that point, 7:15, the room was still empty. Of course, it wasn't to start till 7:30. But that evening, by 7:30, the room was full again. A good proportion of people signed up for the whole course. And again, I had a very successful, fun gathering in San Francisco. Then one other thing happened that really opened up and allowed me to see how narrow my world had been and how rigid my structure and judgment was. I was in New York City, and one evening I was talking to a free workshop there. This is 3,000 miles away, and I just felt like talking about the Cosmic Lady. And I told them about the whole story that I've told you right now. I just told audience, about 60 people, just for fun. I was just telling them about the Cosmic Lady, because I knew New Yorkers would enjoy the story, since they have a lot of their own Cosmic Ladies. And this one very well-dressed woman stood up in the back and announced that she was a psychotherapist and a PhD and was a member of the board of the public television station there in New York City. And she said, "You know, I know the Cosmic Lady." And she said, "You know, she's not crazy. She's on the 6 different boards in San Francisco. She's on the board of the public television station, KQED. She's on a board for helping the homeless find homes. She's on the board of several of the universities of California and several other programs, special programs of the mayor. She's interviewed all the time on television and radio, and she has 4 degrees. That's just her shtick, is the Cosmic Lady. But she's published 3 books, she writes articles, she's actually sought out as consultants in various fields throughout the United States, and she's very well known in New York City as well as San Francisco." So all of a sudden again, I found that this woman who I initially labeled as crazy and a maniac and a nuisance was not at all what she appeared. That this messenger from those beings that assist us with our spiritual purpose and our heart's desire can come in many, many forms. And the Cosmic Lady taught me a really big lesson.